When you think of science fiction, you might think of Mars, deep space, or a gritty future Tokyo. But how about Lawrence, Kansas? Since 1973, KU Center for the Study of Science Fiction has hosted the Campbell Conference, an academic science fiction event on the KU campus. Every summer, writers and scholars of science fiction gather to discuss their field. This year's theme is science fiction and the real world. Joining us from KPR, Chris McKitterick, director of the Science Fiction Center at the University of Kansas and a science fiction scholar and writer. Good morning, Chris.
Morning.
And also Sarah Pinsker, writer and musician. She is a featured panelist at this week's Campbell Conference, which selected her as its winner of the Theodore Sturgeon Short Fiction Award. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
So, Chris, I had no idea that KU had a science fiction center. What's the history there?
Well, James Gunn, who is a grandmaster of science fiction, he started teaching science fiction, one of the first major university science fiction courses back in the late 60s and early 70s, and started teaching courses in for teachers to teach science fiction and for writers to learn how to write better science fiction throughout the 70s and 80s. And the university established it as a official center, university center, back in 1984, I believe, or 82, when his brother, who was a doctor in Kansas City, had left some money for the center to be able to do things like this conference.
So during that time, I mean, and maybe even still, is science fiction sometimes considered less serious than other kinds of literature?
Well, you know, a lot of people do think that sometimes. But I do believe you can see how mainstream literary authors are now more and more trying their hand in science fiction. And science fiction is now being marketed not necessarily with rocket ships on the spine or even the word science fiction. So I think that that's not an attitude you see too much anymore.
Yeah, what have some of the challenges been to make science fiction more of a focus of scholarly studies?
Oh, well, science fiction has had scholarly studies for a long time. It's just that universities have not had a lot of, for example, PhD programs. I don't think that there is a single PhD program in science fiction in the world. There are master's programs, and there's lots of courses, and people are working on their PhD, their dissertations and their master's theses in science fiction. But mostly it has to do with getting those people who are the first-generation scholars into positions where they are able to teach other people who can get their degrees, who can then teach that whole catch-22.
Well, and then something that might help there is something like the Campbell Conference. What goes on at this conference?
Well, we have a bunch of things. This is the sort of mid point between our writing workshop. We have an intensive writing workshop that runs for 2 weeks before this, both one in novels that author and Professor Kirsch Johnson teaches here. And then the one that I offer is a speculative fiction writing workshop, mostly short fiction. And then after that, we have a course in teaching science fiction, an intensive institute. This year, we're reading 25 novels. It teaches a repeat offenders novel writing workshop. So the idea of the conference is to provide a venue for both of those groups to get together, authors and scholars, and get to meet each other in an intimate setting and get a chance to talk and celebrate science fiction.
Now, is this the type of thing that a fan might come to or could come to, or is it strictly for scholars and writers?
Oh, absolutely. We have, it's probably, I would say, about half fans. The fans who come here tend to be the fans who are readers, so a lot of science fiction conventions will have a big attendance of people who are media fans exclusively, like TV shows and movies, or people who are comics or manga fans or something like that. But the Campbell Conference tends to attract people who are readers, whether they're fans or scholars.
Now, does this conference have a national draw? I mean, do people come from all over for it?
Yeah, in fact, we have somebody here from India this year. The workshops bring in people. This year, I think we have two people from Canada and then from about a dozen states. And the same thing with the conference. We have a few for the institute after this. We have people from three different states and then a few KU students, of course.
The Campbell Conference and science fiction writing is what we're talking about on Up to Date. We'd like to hear from those of you who regularly read the genre. What elements of the genre keep you coming back for more? You can call in at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or you can tweet us. We're at KCUR Up to Date. And then Sarah Pinsker, you're a writer and musician. You're one of the people who has come from Baltimore. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I live in Baltimore.
And so what do you see as the role that science fiction is playing in literature?
I think there's always some really thought-provoking stuff going on in science fiction. just at bottom, science fiction looks at what's going on, whether it's in social sciences or hard sciences or just in the world in general, through the prism of something other. So you can add these elements that make it so that you're able to step outside of what you're in and see it as another situation.
You're one of the guest writers at the conference. Are you treated like a guest, or are they making you work while you're there?
I'm treated like a guest so far. I just nice. Got here, though.
Well, so it's early.
We'll make her work.
Well, and your novelette, Enjoy Knowing the Abyss Behind, was just announced as the winner at this year's conference. Is that right?
Yeah.
So what's the synopsis for this story?
It's a story about a couple and a family and changing expectations that you have of people over time. And then there's a really cool treehouse and some aliens thrown in.
Chris, give us some insight on the process for how the conference goes about choosing an honoree like Sarah.
Well, it's pretty much a year-long process for the year prior. This is the award for the best short science fiction of 2013. And we have a group of scholars and writers and critics from around the world for both the Sturgeon Award, which we give in memorializing Theodore Sturgeon, who had a long relationship with the center and was famous for his beautiful short fiction, and also the Campbell Award for Best Science Fiction Novel of the Year. And throughout the year, we read nominations, we discuss them, debate them, argue why the other person is wrong or right, and get everybody else to read our favorites and do a vote. And Kish Johnson is the person who is in charge of that this year. I've been putting together the list of nominators, which we try to get all the magazine editors to make their nominations, as well as scholars and critics and the jurors themselves.
So it's a pretty.
I like the jury process because you get to see things you might not otherwise see, and the votes tend not to have anything to do with who's the favorite writer out there or what's the most popular writer.
Yeah, it sounds very involved. Sarah, you've spoken before about how science fiction is becoming more diverse. What's missing from the area now?
I don't think there's anything missing. It's a question of getting the diverse voices heard. And I think it's happening, but it's a slow process.
Well, why do you think that is?
I think it's a little more fractured than it used to be. So there's the question of any group of people paying attention to any one story or novel or at any one time. People aren't all reading the same things. And I guess there are some prior prejudices that have largely been worked through, but it's always an ongoing process of expanding the voices that are heard.
Well, so prior prejudice, what do you like? Are you talking about this as science fiction sometimes being more like a male dominated genre, or
in the past? Yeah, there are some preconceptions that people have about that. So it's a matter of changing those.
So what challenges do you face as being a female writer in this area?
I haven't faced too many. I've been welcomed, and I've found myself very welcome in the magazines and everywhere I turn. But I know that I'm one of the luckier ones, and that not everyone has a perfect experience.
We're talking about the Campbell Conference. It's a science fiction writing conference that's taking place at KU this weekend. What would you like to see in the SF writing world that you're not seeing now? You can give us a call, 816-235-2888, 816-235-2888. Chris, one of our interns here, Scott, tells us that sci-fi is typically only used to refer to Hollywood films, not literature, which I didn't know and kind of started to confuse me. But I guess this has been an area of debate between science fiction fans or SF. What is all this about?
Well, this has a long history in science fiction. Basically, the people started calling science fiction abbreviating in different ways. The fans liked sci-fi, just kind of rolls off the tongue. And then back in, I guess it was probably the 60s and 70s, when scholarship started becoming more standardized. We started having some publications that were publishing science fiction scholarship. And people started referring to literature as science fiction or SF, and the media-related things, or maybe not as serious, fan fiction or something like that, as sci-fi. And then, of course, now we have this channel that's called Sci-Fi, and they even spell it with Y's instead. So you can kind of do whatever you want. But if you want to sound like, you know, the history of the language, science fiction would be the one to use for the literature.
So for the academic perspective, it is science fiction.
Oh, you know, we still say sci-fi when we refer to movies and things like that.
One of the things that's really fun about reading science fiction is that there's a lot of possibility for metaphors or to make commentary on things happening. And with, you know, us living in a day and age where a lot of things are coming to life, you know, there's like real life examples of, you think about like cars that can drive themselves and all these different things that are coming to actually be within our reality. Is there like a backlash within the sci-fi community to maybe not be so tech now that we're living in such a tech world? Are you seeing different movements in that area?
Well, science fiction has always been really diverse. I mean, you have science fiction, which is really hard science fiction about physics and measurable sciences. There's soft science fiction about things like psychology and sociology, economics, things like that, that it's difficult to replicate some of the experiments. And then you have social science fiction, things that first started really appearing in magazines like Galaxy in the 60s and 50s, where it was about the human consequences of change. Science fiction is not the rocket ships and ray guns. Sure, that's part of it. But what's really interesting in science fiction is what people can use those to mean for us as a human species encountering change and ever accelerating change as time goes on.
Well, and people kind of often think of, I guess, like, future predictions in science fiction, you know, with H.G. Wells wrote about aerial combat before World War I. I mean, Sarah, as a writer, what do you think sci-fi's role is in anticipating the future in those type of ways?
I think some writers do like to do that, and others, as Chris said, are looking at the human reactions and the human costs.
But do you, as a writer, do that yourself?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm not a scientist and I'm not in the business of making predictions. I can look at something like, as you said, the self-driving cars, or I have a story about a man with a prosthetic arm that, you know, they're very much taken from science that is available or will be available before too long. But it's about the people.
Yeah. Is it hard to kind of like push yourself outside of like a cliche scenario, like to, you know, make it more about the people and just not make it about, you know, weird aliens or like a neat robot or something?
No. I think if you read in the field, you've seen the cliches and you skip right past them. The people, I think the people who struggle with that might be the people who are coming in from outside and say, hey, I have this great idea and I'll just toss an alien in it.
Right, right. We're going to hear from CJ, who called from Wichita, 816-235-2888. CJ, welcome to the program.
Hello, it's great to talk to you.
Do you have a question for our Chris McKitterick and Sarah Pinsker?
No, I'm really excited about the panels tomorrow. Dr. Gunn will be at the main panel tomorrow, and also tomorrow night there's going to be an amazing panel with Kevin Wilmot and Matt Jacobson, two filmmakers at KU. They previewed a film last year that was absolutely amazing, and this year they're going to show another film that's going to be absolutely amazing again.
So, CJ, are you a student at KU, or are you just coming to the conference as a fan?
I was. I went through two of Chris's intensive summer sessions my last 2 years at KU.
And are you a science fiction writer?
No, I'm not. I'm more of a fan than anything else. I do math. I'm a math graduate student. I don't have much in the way of writing talent, but I've been a fan. I grew up in a family of engineers, so I was reading science fiction before I was reading other things.
Well, thank you for calling in, CJ. So this brings up that this conference, actually, there's a lot of different things going on with it. Chris, can you kind of give us a rundown of all the different things that are going to be taking place?
Sure. By the way, hi, CJ. what he was referring to is Confederate States of America, CSA. This is filmed by Kevin Wilmot, came out a few years ago. What's really interesting about this kind of takes us to that question you had previously. This is an alternate universe story where what happened in the past is that the Confederates won the war. And what would it be like to live in a modern world where that's the case? And it's fascinating film because you find out that all of their imagery and a lot of the names and things that they use are actually things that are going on around us. But so that's during the evening. We have several things. This afternoon we have mostly a writer discussion about professional writing with Sarah, as well as our other guest authors who will be here. And then tomorrow we have a roundtable discussion. We're going to be talking about science fiction in the real world, sort of that intersection with science fiction speculations, what's going on for us and what the future might be like. Not necessarily speculative, but my gosh, the things that are happening around us feel like the future. We are, as Asimov has said, that we are living in a science fiction world now.
Well, I mean, like, what are some of the things that when, as a person who writes science fiction, when you hear some of these things that are actually happening that just kind of, you know, make you really reevaluate a situation or inspire you?
Oh, boy. You know, as a science fiction writer, you have to pay attention to everything that's going on in the world around, and there's no way to know everything. So we live on the blogs and see what our fellow writers and the editors and the fans think is really cool. Like Bitcoin, right? There's a million stories you can write about future economics. And one of my favorite novels from last year was by Charles Stross. It's called Neptune's Brood. And the main character is a economic historian traveling around the galaxy at slower than light speed. How do you exchange money when it's going to take 40 years to find out if your banknote is real? You know, things like that. We're looking at nanotech and cybernetics and artificial intelligence, and now with the Oculus Rift coming out.
3D printing.
I've got a friend who does 3D printing, and it's amazing the kinds of things you can do.
Oh, like what kind of stuff is he printing?
Well, you know, it's funny because he has a machine that's now old school because you can see the layers of it. But the first thing he made was a model rocket, and he was able to modify it so it would spiral and make sound on the way up, which is something that I don't think Estes would feel comfortable selling. Right. Who knows where it would go?
But they're printing prosthetic limbs, and the medical technology and its implications are just fascinating.
Anything you can think of and design. I mean, we are facing a future that is, it's not going to be about the manufacturers and the big corporations. It's going to be about exchanging information with your friends and using your really high-tech printer, which will use nano to assemble the actual molecules.
Well, and I want you both to answer this. How do you think science fiction and science fiction writing ties into other areas of research and literature? Maybe it inspires engineers or scientists to look into something. Chris,
I think it always has. I think it has inspired people, and I think on the other side too, it can be a voice of reason and a voice of caution and a voice of excitement.
Chris, can you think of some examples?
Chris, if you want to jump in as an example.
if you want to talk to engineers or scientists, one of the people we're honoring this weekend is Frederick Pohl, a science fiction author and editor. Everything in science fiction he did and was related to involved in the Center Summer Program for decades, just died last fall. But one of his greatest hobbies was what he called, he had a book called Chasing Science, and he went around the world finding out what scientists were doing. One of the questions he'd asked is, how many of you got involved in this because of science fiction? And usually 90% of the room would raise their hands because it was inspirational to them.
Speaking of, you know, cross disciplines, Sarah, you're also a musician too, is that right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, people may not think of someone who's a science fiction writer as being a rock star. I mean, I guess I kind of make that connection. But in what ways do you kind of use science fiction writing in your music?
Even before I came back to writing fiction, because I'd been a fiction writer and then I was a musician, and then I sort of put aside the writing for a while. But even then, my songs had a bit of a narrative arc. I like a song with a good story to it. So it's not, I don't really write science fictional music, but there are definite elements that bleed over in both directions. I think I can get some of the rhythms of songwriting into my fiction. I think that punches it up a lot. And going the other way, I think that there's a challenge to storytelling in three verses.
And do you have a What's it like, you know, being in both of those worlds, kind of the music world and then the writing world? Is there a conflict, or does it just kind of bleed into each other?
So far, so good. I have a new album that I'm almost done with, and when they're done doing everything with that, we're going to see, because I haven't, there was a gap between albums where I got to sort of let my fiction take off. So the challenge of touring and also doing the cons that you do to help your career as a writer and finding time to write and all of that, I think is going to be a challenge, and I have yet to see how that plays out.
And the name of the band before we run out of time, too.
My band is called The Stalking Horses, but the next album is another solo album. I've had two solo albums, then one with the band, and then another solo album coming.
We have just a little bit of time left, but before we go, I wanted to ask you both, what author first got you both into writing sci-fi or a story? Just to leave our listeners with.
I'm not going to say a specific author, but the Donald Wilhelm anthologies of short fiction is what got me in. In one book, I could go to a dozen different worlds and learn about a dozen different stories.
And Sarah?
And I'll name two stories, one of which was Ursula Le Guin's The Ones Who Walk Away from Omelas, and the other is actually a Theodore Sturgeon story, which is The Man Who Lost the Sea, which makes me very excited to have won this award.
Well, thank you both for joining us. Thanks, Chris McKitterick, director of the Science Fiction Center at the University of Kansas, and Sarah Pinsker, author and winner of this year's Theodore Sturgeon Short Fiction Award. They joined us from Kansas Public Radio.